Hello, Make That Paper listeners. And now a special preview of the trailer for the new true crime podcast, The Girl with the Same Name, The Cold Case of Jamie Stickle, reported by Jamie Stickle.
It started as a fire call this morning in the parking lot near the Heinz plant. A Jeep Wrangler was burned so badly the back tires had melted. But when firefighters put the fire out, they discovered a body inside.
Imagine getting a phone call from someone who has been dead for 21 years. For the people of Pittsburgh, hearing from Jamie Stickle 2 decades after her death must have been like getting a call from beyond the grave. My name is Jamie Stickle, and this is The Girl with the Same Name. On this season of The Girl with the Same Name, we are exploring the unsolved 2002 death of Jamie Stickle, a woman who shared not only my name, but a litany of coincidences and commonalities. We will talk to her friends, her family, her coworkers, the police, and the world-famous head coroner in Pittsburgh when Jamie died, Cyril Wecht. We will discuss the theories, hear the accusations, follow the money, and pursue justice for Jamie. Learn more, join the cause, and subscribe to the podcast at thegirlwiththesamename.com. First episode drops Thursday, February 15th, but you can subscribe right now on Spotify and all streaming platforms.
Welcome to Make That Paper, the show where we talk about all the crazy jobs we do to make the cash we need to pursue our artistic dreams. And more importantly, where we get to talk to our friends, because life gets pretty crazy. And sometimes you just need to make a good excuse to talk to your friends. On today's episode, we're going to talk about two of the greatest people that have ever lived. The reason this podcast exists is to be able to talk to these people in a way, which we'll get to in just a sec, because you guys don't even know who I am at this point. You've come to this podcast expecting two voices, and you're hearing one very sonorous one, but we'll get to that in just a moment. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the podcast production business, the short-term rental racket, which often involves people expressing themselves through garbage, the computer support conundrum, and the college professor proposition, which was my favorite 70s porn. I am your guest host, Todd Goldberg, and on today's episode, we welcome the dynamic duo who have spent the past 4 years hosting Make That Paper podcast. And on February 8th, they are launching their brand new true crime podcast, The Girl with the Same Name, The Cold Case of Jamie Stickle. Please welcome to their own show, Jamie Parker Stickle and Jason Bieber.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey. Woo!
Woo! It's so amazing to hear you read the Make That Paper intro. Like, that was amazing.
It feels like I just got home and you welcomed me inside and asked me if I'd like a drink.
You know, there's one thing that I think has always been true about me is that I can take over someone else's show and make it my own almost immediately. It's the special gift that I have
to take over, not Kimmel, the other one,
Fallon.
I want to see you take over Fallon's show.
But I can't sing or dance.
But you could try and it would be hilarious.
I could vaguely flirt with like Jennifer Lawrence or something like that. I'd be perfectly fine with it.
And you know music.
I know music.
I mean, come on.
And I know popular culture.
Yes.
I would be better to my staff. That much I can guarantee you.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm known as a pretty good boss. Have you had anyone on the show who works for me?
Maggie Downs. We've had Maggie, Stephen Graham Jones.
Right. Did they at any point say, hey, this is off the record, but I've got a terrible boss?
We didn't let anyone go off the record.
Once, but we were sworn to off the record.
I went off the record when I did your show.
I think you're thinking of the rails.
But this was I was on your show so long ago, you guys didn't even have mics yet. You were speaking directly into your computer.
Your episode actually is on record as the worst audio we ever had, that we still went ahead and released it.
You know, it was amazing.
What a gift.
It's so funny because that first season is so popular and it is the worst, least professional in terms of recording. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very TikTok.
Very TikTok. But
I remember after the show, I think I sent you guys an email saying, here's a mic you could buy.
You probably did. And then here we are 4 years later. But it was amazing. The episode was, I mean, I can't tell you that first season. People were writing to us in the midst of COVID telling us they were falling off the elliptical or the treadmill laughing so hard at our guests.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a good season that I don't even like care that the audio was crazy because it made people laugh so hard at a time that was so shitty.
Yeah. That's how we felt. So, you know, that was our last really full season of Literary Disco that we did, where, you know, we did like 35 episodes during the pandemic. Part of it was just to stay sane. But then the other part of it was like, we felt that we had like a duty to keep other people from killing themselves.
I think that was the moment where
we also found out like that our audience, and I'm sure this is the case for you guys as well, our audience viewed us more than entertainment. Our audience viewed us as like a part of their daily lives.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that they did when they were making dinner, or the thing they did when they were, you know, walking around their neighborhood trying to get exercise while, you know, there was in fact a vast pandemic killing everyone that we know. And, you know, you guys are going to talk about the podcast production business as one of your ways to make that paper. Yeah. But it turns out like what you did to start a hobby is, as listeners are about to find out, is probably going to become your thing. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? But when both of you first got to Los Angeles, what were your dreams? What is it, Jason, that you wanted to be? What did you think you were going to be at this point in your life?
Tom Hanks. I came here. I went to University of Southern California, USC School of Theater, now known as the School of Dramatic Arts, to study acting so I could take over the world as an actor, and absolutely nothing else. I didn't want to direct. I didn't want to write. I didn't want to do anything but be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, was that short-sighted.
Was it like landing on the moon and then finding out, oh, it's been colonized?
Yeah. What are you all doing here?
Oh, so Tom Hanks already is a thing.
You've got one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What about Peter Scolari? Oh, he's a thing.
I just kept, you know, kept dropping down, you know. And,
right. Anson Williams? Oh, he's a thing. Okay.
Okay. And you're sure about him. You're sticking with that.
And Jamie, who did you think you'd be right now in your life?
Yeah, I wanted to be a multi-cam sitcom actor. Like, I wanted to write for the multi-cam and be on it. I wanted my own show. I thought for sure I was funny.
Mm-hmm.
To look at, and that I deliver funny lines.
Right.
And I thought,
was that one of them?
Yeah, no. I thought I was so quirky and had such a great idea of what funny was.
Right.
They were going to want to put me on TV. And that was
immediately.
It. Immediately. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I was like, okay, this is it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for both of you, how quickly, so Jamie, when did you land your first speaking role?
The first year I was here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was it?
I was an extra on Malcolm in the Middle, and I got a bump.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember your character's name?
She didn't have a... It was just a girl that Malcolm had a crush on from school.
Okay. How old were you?
23.
And he was like 11.
He was 16 or 15. I think he was like 17. But, you know, yes, it was playing like a freshman in high school.
Oh, how weird. Okay. And Jason, what about for you?
My first speaking role was, first I landed a commercial, and then I got SAG, but it wasn't a speaking role, but still the best paid job I ever had. And then shortly thereafter that, I got a role on a show called Oliver Bean.
Yeah.
I was playing a bathroom attendant.
Okay.
Or like not a bath, spa attendant. Right. I was like wearing all white.
Right.
Which unfortunately it's my first time on set and they put me in a very white costume and didn't tell me to stay away from the avocado bar. What were they doing with an avocado bar?
So, look, yeah, if you're going to have craft services,
yeah,
don't have stuff that stains.
I had three wardrobe people working on me getting the stain out of me. It was
oh God. All right. So you get these first roles, mm-hmm. where you're actually talking and spilling a little bit of avocado on yourself.
Yeah.
Are you thinking at that point, like, okay, it's probably 6 months until 100%. I'm Jennifer Aniston or I'm Tom Hanks?
No, I didn't, because as a middle child and didn't grow up with money, I was like, shit, this doesn't pay enough to pay even a portion of my rent,
right.
or my parking or anything else. And I started having these little anxiety attacks, but I didn't know that's what they were. And I was like, I have to get like a real job, but they keep sending me on auditions. And if you don't go on like 30 auditions a week, then you're not going to book.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where it's just like hitting on people at a bar. The more you do it, the more you'll, you know, then you'll land the thing. It's a numbers game.
Oh, I thought you had to be attractive.
No.
Oh.
No, you can go home with someone. You just have to do a lot of, you know, hitting on people.
I think my wife would really be against this, but I'm going to try it.
I was seeing people work all the time. While I was working at Starbucks and mm-hmm. selling cosmetics at the mall and doing all these things and hitting like one audition a day versus three or four. And
right.
So I sort of knew early on that it was going to be an issue and I didn't have any financial support. So it was what it was. And I thought I'm going to have to do something else to break in. And that's when I ended up doing the Second City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first
and what about
I did
for you, Jason?
And then I went to Second City.
What about yeah. for you, Jason?
I wasn't nearly as humble. I definitely was. I rode the dream of Manifest Destiny all the way here, and yeah, when I got those first two jobs, it felt very much like, okay, here we go. And
right.
now I mean, I definitely need a job, but I should probably let everyone know on my interviews that I won't be here very long.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great way to land a full-time position.
You mm-hmm. would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in Los Angeles, it's not a surprise. You know, half the people doing anything are directors or actors or models or whatever.
Or writers.
That's true.
Like, and, I remember my first job out of college, I was working, getting people temp jobs for a living at a temporary agency. And I remember being interviewed and the owner of the temporary agency asking me like, so are you really interested in employment? And I was like, no, no, not at all.
Yeah. Like, I as mean, a concept?
Yeah. Like, I'm happy to help mm-hmm. for benefits at about $1,400 a month, but
yeah.
no, but yeah, you know, I mean, still got the job.
Of course, because people who sign up with temp agencies, which I did as well.
I did as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the purpose. It's because people aren't looking for full-time
right.
work.
Right.
I want to give you everything I've got for 1 week.
One day.
Okay. So you're living the dream in reality. You are actually trying to achieve your dream by going out there and hustling, both of you.
Yeah.
So at the time, obviously, you weren't together. How long into this process before you actually met each other?
You know, it's interesting because we didn't know each other for quite a while, but we were very parallel, living, you know, only a couple blocks away from each other mm-hmm. in different parts of the city at mm-hmm. the same time. It's like to find this out later was kind of cool, kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So when you two found each other and then love blossomed, both of you were still in the midst of trying to do this, right? Of trying to be actors, full-time
actors. We were actually
actors.
Acting when we met each other.
Oh, you were? What were you doing?
We were both booked on a show, a streaming show. And Actually, Jason wasn't booked. His friends were the producers. I was booked. It's interesting because a year prior to booking this, I was watching a show at Second City and Jason was performing on stage and I just happened to be there with a friend and was immediately taken by Jason on stage.
Listeners, if you've not ever seen these two, extraordinarily attractive couple.
Just switch over to the video podcast right now.
Jason's sort of like a Hemsworth if the Hemsworths lived in Northridge.
And didn't wax.
Didn't wax and didn't eat meat or work out.
Good.
And Jamie, I'm not comfortable describing because Jamie was my student. So she's just pretty. There you go.
Thank you.
Very, very. Welcome. I could take it from here, Todd. Excuse me.
No. Okay. So I saw Jason on stage and the person I was with was like, I don't know his name, but I hear he's like divorced and all this stuff. Like, you know, nothing you could be interested in. Okay, great.
A lot of red flags were thrown.
Right.
A lot of red flags. So I'd forgotten all about it. A year later, a whole year later, I'm booked on this show and I show up at 5:30 a.m. was the call time. And I'm shooting. Yeah. And then Jason showed up halfway through the shoot.
I got a call kind of early in the morning, waking me up from a bit of a hangover, asking me if I could do a favor and come because somebody had dropped out at the last
minute.
And so I got paired up with him as my scene partner.
Ooh.
And it was like so absurd, like that this would happen from the guy that I saw. That's how small it is that he ended up on a show I was cast on. And then we've been together ever since creating our own work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a random thing until, like you both said, like you realize that you had been sort of traveling in concentric circles around each other this entire time, you know? And I'm sure it turned out that you had mutual friends or, you know, you were a Kevin Bacon apart at all times in your life.
Exactly.
So, okay. So we're moving now towards the big reveal, which is this amazing show you guys are about to do. They're going to make you rich and famous beyond all human comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
You start doing this podcast, Make That Paper. And you've been doing it now for 4 years, which is incredible. I presume you've been listening to a lot of podcasts. It is the medium of our time, essentially.
Especially during the pandemic.
During the pandemic. I mean, I survived off of them. I mean, I listen to a podcast every single day at some point. Because I go to bed, I listen to one to help me fall asleep, you know, whatever it might be. Or I just, like, I listen to something every single day.
Yeah.
The same way I used to listen to NPR, I guess, in a way. But you stumble on this idea for a true crime podcast about this woman who was killed, who has your same name, Jamie.
Yeah.
You do an amazing amount of crowdfunding for it. You get a bunch of money together to start making this on your own, like indie filmmakers, which both of you have experience working in that field. But you're taking that background and putting it towards something else. You both know story intimately. You've both been actors and writers all this time. And you're both suddenly aware of how you actually spend your entertainment time. And you spend your entertainment time with earbuds in.
That's right.
Doing your other job, right?
That's right.
Yep.
And so
it's all storytelling.
It's all storytelling. I mean, all your jobs have been storytelling at some level, right? Because I've looked at your Airbnbs, and the way you sell your Airbnbs is that you are selling this notion of 4 days in the desert to center yourself, you know, to make your art or whatever it might be, to get away from it all. All that is about narrative.
Absolutely.
But now you have this story that you're about to tell, this real life story about this murder. And, you know, Jamie, I know, of course, that you are a fantastic crime novelist as well. I think you have a bright and brilliant future as a crime novelist. But there's this other thing that you can do. And you both know that you can be super compelling behind a microphone. And so you have this podcast that you're going to do, that you're doing independently, that you're already garnering a lot of interest from the industry that you've been trying to break into on a full-time basis for the last, 25 years or something?
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like when you least need it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There it is. Hey, so what's that experience been like
over there? What are you guys doing? What are you up to over there?
Yeah. Oh, finally we see you.
Oh, hey guys.
What has that been like all of a sudden, taking these meetings at that level that you've wanted to be at this entire time?
I think one thing I want to say is that quote that they always say, there is no luck. It's when, you know, preparedness meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Going into these meetings, like, freaked out, and then it being nothing, like, normal. Like, I've been doing this all along. Like, what? Oh, right. I am prepared. Never mind. It's great.
Right.
It's great. And, you know, being prepared when papers call and they want to do an interview and you're like, yeah, sure, I can just jump on that. I don't have mm-hmm. to sweat it or spend hours preparing myself
right.
to do an interview because, one, I can act my way through it, or two, I'm actually doing the thing.
And you have the information. You actually know it.
I actually have the information. Like, I did it.
We're so deeply right. immersed in it, we know it like the back of our hands. And
right.
the nice thing
it's
is...
weird. It's so weird when you're that prepared,
yeah.
you know?
And unlike everything we've ever hoped for, aspired to, tried to accomplish, we are in a position with this project and then the meetings that have come out of this and for, you know, for this project's future, where we are in no way dependent upon the mm-hmm. success of a given meeting.
Right.
We've already made the project. It's
yeah.
already
right.
happening, getting released. We already got the money. We already got the interest. People put their money into it before we even made it.
Right.
And some of the people that put money into it are so successful in this business as producers already working for production companies. And they're mm-hmm. just friends of ours, but they believe in us because of the work that we've put forth in our past.
Right.
To see us do something like this has, and then them support it in this financial way, like a big financial way, has been, honestly, I've spent a lot of time crying because I did not think that people saw me this way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of validation into all the work I've done for my entire career.
Right. And it's the culmination for both of you of all of your skill sets. I mean,
yes.
hopefully you guys recognize this, right? Like
yes.
all of your interest and all of your skills and all the things that you've done together and separately mm-hmm. are this.
Yes.
You know, like you couldn't have done this without failing and succeeding at other things along the way, right?
100%.
And that's why these meetings are so fulfilling to you, because you also have the power to say no.
Yeah.
You know, like being in the position to say no is such a great feeling, right? Like you're not saying, like you don't go into every meeting thinking like, okay, so I'm going to be able to pay my rent this month. Okay, this is great. Oh, I can buy a pair of shoes. That's such a cool feeling.
Yeah.
So the podcast is launching pretty quickly. If it becomes the biggest thing on earth,
yeah.
Do you still keep a second thing? Are you still making that paper in some other way?
I mean, I don't want to leave my job. I am coming up. They're trying to figure out how to offer me a full-time professor faculty
right.
position. And
awesome.
It's awesome. And I love my university. I love my boss. He, the director of the program, like you would love him. He reminds me of you. He's so fantastic. That yes, I've promised if they offer that I would stay
mm-hmm.
because that is something that I want to do. But because I work as a professor in the School of Communications and Media, it behooves them
for sure.
that I am successful in my medium.
Right.
Like
absolutely.
They're not
yeah.
going to, they made a promise to me that I may continue with my work even with the full-time offer.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Yes. I would continue to teach because
but
I
love Jason,
it so
you
much.
Would dump those homes in a minute.
So fast.
I would not dump the homes, but I would probably pass management off to a management company.
Right.
For the ones that we still manage.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the IT business, I would
scale back,
sunset over time.
Or sell it. Because
sell it.
The production, because you know, our production company is doing well. We've been asked if we would produce a projects people are pitching to us now.
Mm-hmm.
So that needs a full-time
right.
person on it.
And you also have, you know, just FYI listeners, they also have their own personal lives. So
yeah,
you have to have the bandwidth to be in love with each other and mm-hmm. the bandwidth to raise your child and
yes.
to go to fucking Gelson's and get a hand pie or whatever it is. That's like, right. You also, don't it can't
PCA
just
meetings.
Yeah, it just can't be about the job, right? 100%. Like, you gotta have time to watch that weird Rob Lowe game show.
I mean, I watch everything Rob Lowe.
Me
you
too.
You have to have Rob Lowe time.
Rob Lowe is a very important part of my life. Oh God, how dare you? People do forget that.
It's true. Rob Lowe. Anyways, Rob Lowe's wife. Okay. Anyways, let's keep going.
I'm not familiar with her game. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, you
But so that, like, that's awesome. Like, I think clearly you guys also are realistic now too. It's like, hey, all this could also just go poof.
Yeah.
Right. And exactly. So you have to be conscious of it. I mean, and this is the thing about, for instance, with your teaching job, Jamie, is like, yeah, like, it's great that you're successful doing this and it helps that school and helps you with that job. But the cool thing about that professor job is that when you're 60 and still doing that job and you've got your retirement and your pension and your health care for the rest of your life, like, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Yeah, because we won't be able to fire on all cylinders forever.
Right.
Right. And we'll want to travel more. Yeah. But but I also think that women in this business at 60 should continue to show up for young women to show them our value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teaching isn't for me just about the security of the job, which is lovely and nice and needed, but it's also about showing up for women in this industry and encouraging them, supporting them, and being the teacher that I wish I had. I didn't have that teacher until I had you. Mm-hmm. And that was later in my life. And these are young women, undergrads. And it's like, I wanted to be someone to demonstrate and model that, you know, you're right. Going to wear a lot of hats and you're going to be successful and you're not done at 45 or 50 or 60.
No. So, I mean, and that's the cool thing is, like, you know, in today's age, you can work doing this, doing Hollywood stuff, but doing podcasts and stuff until
you
whenever, die. You know, until the day you actually slip this mortal coil, you can be on GarageBand doing a podcast.
100%.
Well, that, I mean, it's so cool. I mean, I hope you guys realize as we were going through all of this, heading up to talking just a little bit about the launch of the new podcast, like, I hope you saw, like, right, like, everything that I've done has prepared me for this thing that I'm doing now. It's really cool for me to see, like clearly, because I didn't know all of your stories, but to see that finally wrapping up into that one thing is so neat and inspiring. And I think when they make the documentary about you guys, and Charlize Theron plays you, Jason, mm-hmm. her most challenging role yet.
She can pull it off. I've seen what they do with prosthetics.
Oh, they can do anything now. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us on Make That Paper. I'm your guest host, Joan Rivers. Check us out next time. When's the next time you guys are doing one of these shows?
After we've got the other show up and running. This is a special one-off edition.
All right. Yeah. So this is our special one-off. Go back and listen to every other previous episode of Make That Paper to hear sort of how they learned from me how to host a podcast.
Definitely.
We'll see you next time.
To the Todd Goldberg episode.
Listen to the one with me to find out how they improved their microphone game.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Thanks.
Woo! Made love on Tuesday. On Wednesday, she was down. We fought on Thursday. Made up on Friday. But now I'm losing ground. You call me lazy. You think I'm crazy. So why'd you come around? She want my money. But I got no money. This ain't no savings and loans.